This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in our series of khutab, or series of ahadith, speaking about, unfortunately, the bad moral habits or vices or practices that we find, not just with the world around us, but even amongst our own kind, our own selves, our own Muslims. And the sad thing is at times that some of us begin to justify our bad practices rather than accepting them. And some of us, unfortunately, even go a step further. We try to legalize, make things which are haram, to say that they are halal or they're permissible, or those words don't mean that. If only we had stopped and accepted our sin, there may be, or possibly, or even definitely, there could be forgiveness for that individual who acknowledges their wrongdoing, that I've disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has been prophesied by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that people will come from his ummah, from his followers, from his people, who are going to do certain actions, and they're going to go beyond that. They're going to try to legalize certain actions which are haram, which are forbidden. That's today's hadith that we find. لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أَقْوَامٌ يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرَى وَالْحَرِيرِ وَالْخَمْرَ وَالْمَعَازِفِ. There's going to come a group of people who are going to come in ummati, from my own nation, from my own tribe, my own people, my followers. أَقْوَامٌ, a group of them. يستحلون, we're going to seek to make halal and hira, which is adultery, fornication, any form of sexual activity with the opposite gender, which is haram. Likewise, al-harir for men, silk, the wearing of silk is forbidden for men. Wal-khamra, any form of intoxicant, we mentioned alcohol or any form of drug, intoxicants, haram. Wal-ma'azif, and the use of music or musical instruments. Hadith is inside the Sahih of Imam Bukhari. And before we complete the hadith, we find that some people, as we mentioned, try to say that these ahadith is just information. The Prophet ﷺ is just giving information. This is what's going to take place. And this shows, unfortunately, once again, a sickness inside the hearts of these Muslims, that they fail to understand the role and the conduct and the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam isn't just akhbar, isn't just information. His task is to make things halal for them by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ, and to make haram upon them those things which are impure, filthy things, bad things. As Allah describes sifat al-rasul, characteristics of the Prophet alayhi wasalam, inside Surah Al-A'raf. Numerous verses are mentioned inside speaking about his role, his conduct, and who he is, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just to complete the hadith, what will be the end result of these individuals? وَلَيَنْزِلَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ إِلَى جَبِّ عَلَمٍ, and from amongst them a group of people come to the side of a mountain. يَرُوحُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالسَّارِحَةٍ لَهُمْ, and a farmer of theirs will come and join them in that location. وَيَأْتِيهِمْ الْفَقِيرِ, a certain poor individual will come to these individuals. لِحَاجَةٍ فَيَقُولُونَ إِرْجِعْ عَلَيْنَا غَدًا, and they will say to him, come back to us tomorrow, we may help you. فَيُبَيِّتُهُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah will destroy them in the night. وَيَدَعُ الْعَلَمْ, and will make the mountain to collapse upon these individuals. وَيَمْسَخُ آخَرِينَ, and he would change the other individuals to قِرَدَةً وَخَنَازِيرِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and would disfigure other individuals to make them to become swines and apes. Before we begin to dissect the main part of this hadith, just to send home the message of this dire warning of what happens to people who engross themselves inside this evil practice. Other ahadith that we find some of my people will drink wine. يسمونها بغير اسمها. Will drink wine and call it by another name. Some people of my ummah. ركزوا على هذا. الناس من أمتي. أقوام من أمتي. We're not speaking about non-Muslims, about what names and titles they give to alcohol and drinks, whatever it may be. We're speaking about Muslims. Muslims are going to come and to give khamr, alcohol, give drugs, intoxicants, to give it a different name. Al-ghada'u al-ruhiyya, a spiritual drink. Drink for the soul. Drink for the mind. Relaxation. Names will be given like this. In essence, it's just wine. It's just alcohol. It's something that hallucinates the individual. And you find calling it by another name. Merriment will be made for them through musical instruments and lady singers. So they will have merriment, music, and female singers will be singing for these individuals. Allah will cause the earth to swallow them. And He will turn them into monkeys and pigs. Hadith in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, and authenticated by late Sheikh of Sham, Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayh. Another hadith we find, people among my ummah will stay up at night, eating, drinking, and entertaining themselves, and in the morning, they'll be turned into monkeys and pigs. Hadith in the Sunan of Abi Dawood, and also checked by the late Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayh. سيكون في آخر الزمان خصف وقذف ومسخ. Towards the end of times, there will be the sinking of the earth. There will be the throwing or the destruction by stones or hurricanes, whatever it may be. ومسخ, and transformation of individuals. قيل ومتى ذلك يا رسول الله. When will that take place? When these calamities begin to fall upon the earth. قال إذا ظهرت المعازف والقينات. When musical instruments become abundant, become common, and female singers become common inside society. Hadith inside the Mu'jam of Imam al-Tabrani, and likewise authenticated by the late Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayh. نرجع إلى hadith, the main hadith. لَيَقُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّةِ أَقْوَامٌ. There's going to be people from my own nation, my own people, who are going to come and make something which is haram halal. Firstly, regarding the authenticity of this hadith, is inside the collection of Imam Bukhari. It's an authentic hadith. Checking of this hadith by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who wrote al-Sharf Sahih Bukhari, wa Imam al-Aini, who wrote Umdatul Qari fi Sharf Sahih Bukhari, both authenticated except this hadith. Ibn Hibban, Sahib al-Mustadrak, who laid out criteria of making hadith authentic according to the criteria of Imam Bukhari and Muslim, also accept this hadith to be authentic. Wa Ibn Salah, Imam al-Ulum al-Hadith. Ibn Salah, any student of knowledge knows, all books of Ulum al-Hadith in general return back to Ibn Salah. Wa Ibn Salah, radda ala Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri al-Andalusi. Because these modern day Muslims, they try to hide behind that Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi al-Zahiri was the one who classified this hadith as not being authentic, and the one who pushed inside society the use of music and musical instruments. هذا خطأ عنده. This is a big, grave mistake of Ibn Hazm. And many of the ulama have concluded that even though Ibn Hazm wrote a famous book of fiqh al-muhalla, there were many things about his views, and especially inside hadith, لا يصح ولا يدعف ولا يأخذ قوله. Never does any alim take the views of Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri. Take his views in accepting a hadith. After Ibn Salah, we find Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, Ibn Kathir, and contemporary ulama, Sheikh Ahmed Shakir, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Shu'ayb al-Arnaud, all of them accepted and authenticated this hadith. As for the kalimat of this hadith that we find, لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّةِ أَقْوَامٍ. We find, unfortunately, sounds very harsh to use such words, but the enemy within. You know, sometimes we're so worried about external forces and external elements of society attacking upon us. But we fail to understand there are enemies within ourselves. There's problems within ourselves. There's munafiqun, there's hypocrites within our own selves. Because hypocrisy, as music it sprouts, as we're going to touch upon, hypocrisy is trying to dismantle Islam. Zahiran, ismul Islam. Externally, the name of Islam, the use of Islam, the display of Islam, but internally has the intent to destroy Islam, to weaken Islam. You know, non-Muslims can't today come and gun down Muslims and just totally destroy them, even though that is unfortunately taking place. They have to use other methods, other means, other ways of weakening this Muslim ummah. So the ways that they use is enemies within us, within ourselves, who begin to have this passive thinking, this open thinking, this literal thinking, this modern thinking. This is the age, the 21st century. We need music inside our lives. We need entertainment inside our lives. We need this, because everywhere that we go, it's all around us. And we need this to live, to function inside our life. These are only new things, new doubts that they begin to grave into our minds, that this is normality, this is a normal way of life, that we need to conduct ourselves and place this inside the Islamic environment that we find. Yastahillun. Anybody who studies the Arabic language will understand yastahillun talabu shay, that they are trying to seek something, to make something which is permissible. That's what Imam Sa'ani mentioned, yaj'alun harama halalan. They're trying to make something which is haram to be halal. As Imam Sa'ani in his work Subul al-Salam, in his sharaf Bulugh al-Maram, he mentions. We find, unfortunately, man istahilla al-ghina. Whoever tries to legalize anything is a principle inside the Sharia. As we began with, somebody can do haram, his affair lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah cover all of our mistakes and our downfalls. But when a person comes out in society and says that this is not haram, this is permissible, this is so dangerous. Because fuqa mentioned, man istahalla al-haram faqad kafara. Whoever seeks to make something halal which is haram has disbelieved. That's how severe it is. Because this person, yal'ab bil-sharia, is playing with the sharia. He's trying to make something halal which is forbidden. Trying to make something haram which Allah has allowed for people to carry out inside their lives. يَسْتَحِلُّونَ أَوَّلْ الْحِرَى. Try to make halal, الْحِرَى هو الْفَرْج, the private parts. Try to make halal, يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الزِّنَى. As Ibn Hajar Asqalani mentions, every single Muslim knows, without a shadow of doubt, الزِّنَى is haram. So how can they seek to make zina halal? Every Muslim knows, zina is forbidden. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَى إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلَ. Quran says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. Quran doesn't say, وَلَا تَفْعَلُوا. Quran doesn't say, don't commit zina. Quran says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. Don't go near anything that leads to zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلَ. It's an evil action. Destroys the path, destroys the individual of entering to zina. The second thing that we find, وَالْحَرِيرُ. They try to make halal silk. Silk and gold, as we know, for a Muslim man, is forbidden. It's haram for a Muslim man to wear silk and to wear gold. The third thing that we find, wal-khamra. Try to legalize al-khamr, intoxicants, alcohol. وَلَوْ كَانَتْ حَلَالًا لَمَا ذَمَّهُمْ. If these things were halal, why are they being rebuked? If alcohol is halal, if zina is halal, if silk is halal, why are they being rebuked inside this hadith? Why are they being warned for punishment? As Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions, or Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned his works, Ighathatul Lahfan, which is two volumes just speaking about of Masa'id al-Shaytan, the traps, the snares of the devil. Likewise, Ibn al-Jawzi in his magnanimous work, Talbis Iblis, a whole volume just speaking about deceptions of the devil. Study this material to see how Shaytan enters into the mind, into people, creates the snares, the traps of people being worked into certain things to take them away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find wal-ma'azif. What is al-ma'azif? Ulama mentioned ma'azif, any form of musical instrument, or the sounds that come out from these musical instruments, and singing which comes with any form of instrument in the background, is all classified according to Sharia as al-ma'azif. Is all forbidden inside the Sharia. And thus we find, if we take this hadith and we switch the wording around, go back to front, you see that all of this is linked together, because you find that music will be accompanied with al-khamr, with wine. Wine will be accompanied with good dress, good sense, even wearing haram silk for men, people who wear it. And that will lead on to, unfortunately, al-zina. Thus you find al-ghina qabla al-zina. May sound extreme for some of us, but some of the ulama mentioned, Al-ghina qabla zina. Before a person commits zina, there comes music. There comes entertainment. There comes that environment. That's why when the Sharia clamps down on making certain things haram, there's always a link. That's why a person shouldn't think that it's a small sin, a minor sin. Ulama mentioned one small sin leads to another sin, leads to another sin. Hatta tusbih min al-kaba'ir, till eventually becomes classified as a major sin. And likewise, what Ibn Jawzi he mentions, Rabbi Tamir mentioned hadith al-hadith, ala wajhi dham wa ma'aqibatuhum, is a form of blame and a torture and a punishment upon these individuals. And also, scientifically, a great link has been proven between the use of music and immoral activity, haram activity by the use of music that we find it leads people to carry out these haram actions. As for from the Quran, we find three main verses inside the Quran which speak about making music haram, and some ulama collected a fourth verse. Imam Qurtubi speaks about this inside his tafsir. And likewise before this, Imam Tabari as well goes to this view as well. The three verses follow him in a chronological order that occur inside the Quran. They're speaking about music to be something which is forbidden. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. Attack them. Go towards them. Take them away from their locations, from their mind, from whatever they're doing inside their lives. بِصَوْتِكَ, via your voice. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجْلِكَ. Throw upon them your cavalry and your soldiers and your troops upon these individuals. وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. وَعِدْهُمْ وَمَا يَعِدْهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Use your voice to allure people, to derail people, take people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Send down your cavalry, your soldiers and your men upon these individuals. What does bisawtika mean? By the use of your voice. Imam Mujahid, who's a student of Ibn Abbas, and likewise Imam al-Dahhaq mentioned, bisawtika means shaitan excites mankind via the use of music, songs, and any form of amusement, takes the individual away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second verse inside the Quran, inside Surah Luqman, the 31st chapter of the Quran, verse number 6. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There are some people who seek vulgar, vain speech, and they use this speech to take people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, without any justification, without any knowledge. وَيَتَّخِذَ هُزُوَا. These individuals, they take life as just jest and just play. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. For them, it's going to be an evil chastisement for these individuals. Then Allah continues and mentions, وَإِذَا تُطْلَ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا. When our verses are recited to these individuals, what is the response of these individuals? وَلَّا مُسْتَكْبِرًا كَأَن لَّمْ يَسْمَعَهَا. Walks away in a state of arrogance, as if he hasn't heard the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَأَن لَّمْ يَسْمَعَهَا كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقْرًا. As if there's molten lead being placed inside the ears of these individuals. فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give that individual glad tidings of a severe chastisement. That's why ulama mentioned, you cannot have sawtu Rahman or sawtu Shaytan inside the heart of the individual. Inside the beginning of Surah Ahzab, Allah mentioned, Allah has not made two hearts in the chest and the cavity of the human being. It's only one heart. The heart will either be conquered with the words of Allah or be conquered by the words of Shaytan. People may say it's only a pastime, it doesn't affect me. But you can see that eventually over time, how a person will show preference to listen to words of Shaytan over the words of Ar-Rahman. The penetration words of Allah have no impact upon that individual because their heart has become sealed. Their ears have become sealed. They don't open up to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the tafsir of these verses, when you look at the tafsir of Imam Suyuti, Sahib al-Durrul Manthur, or tafsir of Ibn Kathir, you mentioned the narration Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that indeed, innama huwa al-ghina. Lahw al-hadithi means singing. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentions, I classify it as being singing and whatever is linked to singing. Remember, Ibn Abbas is classified as turjaman al-Quran, the one who explained the Quran, who had the most knowledge regarding the Quran, tafsir the Quran. He says, I swear by Allah three times. Lahw al-hadith, general meaning is vulgar, vain speech, but a deeper meaning is singing and musical instruments that go with it. Likewise, you find, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ مَكْحُولُ who mentions, if a person hires female singers and gets them to sing, and this person doesn't repent from that, and he dies upon that, فَلَا أُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِ I do not pray upon that individual. I don't attend the janaz of that individual. You know, for some of us it may sound so far away, but because we become such a complacent society, that acceptance that these things that take place, it doesn't upset us, it doesn't worry us. We think nothing of it. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَ الشَّاعِرُ when he mentioned, don't, when you see that the father, يَدْرِبْ عَلَى الطَّبَلْ is playing the drum. فَلَا تَلُمُّ الْأَوْلَادِ عَلَى رَقْصِ Don't blame your children that they begin to sing and they begin to dance. Don't look at them and say that, what are you doing? Because if the father is going and lives a life of haram, then likewise the children begin to imitate that. The imitation comes from the beginning. Sahibul Bayt, person of the house, how they understand and perceive certain things inside their life. Likewise we find another Ibn Harith who mentions in the Tafsir Ibn Kathir that we find another Ibn Harith, he came to Mecca and he saw that people are coming to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he hired singing girls. And he said to them, go to the people and sing for them and dance for them, pour wine for them. And say, هَذَا خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَدْعُوكَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ This is better than what Muhammad is calling you to. Distract them away. You know, this is centuries ago. This is centuries ago. Look at the modern world. You know the Arab Idol? It's like these competitions, these TV shows that we find that exist in the Arab world. Four times it's been won, twice by two Palestinian individuals and Palestine. You know, we speak about liberating Palestine. The whole of Palestine goes berserk because one of their sons has won this Arab Idol competition where more than 100,000 people will view it. 100,000 people will view it. They view this, 100 million viewers, 100 million viewers in the Arab world will watch this. And I don't want to sound political, because some people say that when you speak about these things, it's some form of revolution against the people around us. There's no revolution or revolt against the people around us. You know, we should feel this inside our heart. The blessed lands. The Prophet, he spilled his blood, his sweat, his life, his honor to purify the precincts of Mecca and Medina. We think it's trivial. We want to bring filthy rap stars, concerts, gigs, music to a precious land, to a beautiful environment. And people say, no, this is a political wording or climate. Look, we're not puppets to anyone. You know, we can speak openly, the Muslim Empire puppets. Their masters hold their strings. And we are the audience who laugh at the puppets and silent tacit approval of what the puppets do around us because we're entertained. That's what we become. Muslims are entertained and they entertain us. And they govern and rule over us. It's not just a trivial affair that some people that they think. It's a deep strategy of what to do with Muslims, how to derate Muslims, how to keep them busy. As we're going to mention in conclusion, how they've destroyed us, destroyed our people, destroyed our theme, destroyed our mind in entering music into our lifestyles that we find. Because unfortunately we become people who are so dumbed down. The third hadith, or third ayah inside the Quran, inside the end of Surah Al-Najm. The 53rd chapter of the Quran. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ You can read the tafsir of all of these ayah. In any book of tafsir, it's all there, crystal clear. Our ulama have described these verses. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ Do you marvel at these words? As we mentioned many times, people just marvel at the Quran. Quran isn't to be marveled at. Quran isn't you just marvel at Quran. Quran moves the person. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. You know, if anything can bring a man to tears, bring a man down to his knees, rip the heart open of an individual, it's the Quran. It's the Quran. If that impact of Quran doesn't happen inside your life, you need to question your heart, question your iman. Why doesn't my heart flow with the words of Ar-Rahman? Why doesn't my heart awaken with the words of Ar-Rahman? Why am I not uplifted? Because many of us may be away from the words of Allah, listening to other things that don't benefit us, or we don't understand the words of the Quran. وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ You're busy laughing. وَلَا تَبْكُونَ You don't weep and you don't cry. سَامِدُونَ Here we want to focus upon the what Sam be doing. You're busy entertaining, looking after yourself. And in the Yemeni dialect, as Samad goes back, Sumud goes back to singing a musical instrument. And remember, a large portion of the Arabic language goes back to pure fasaha. This is what these people are doing, living in a state of merriment. The fourth verse that we mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُوا بِاللَّهُ مَرُوا كِرَامًا. Inside Surah Al-Furqan, speaking about Ibad al-Rahman, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sifat. Az-Zur is any evil speech. But ulama of Logha, ulama of Quran have mentioned Abu Bakr al-Jassas, sahibu ahkam al-Quran, min ulama al-Hanafiya, who says that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi went to the view that a qawl al-Zur huna, wal-ladhin la yashadun al-Zur, Zur is what is music, al-musiqa, is ghina, music and singing and whatever is linked with it. Likewise, other explicit ahadith that we find. Inna Allah harrama alaykum al-khamra wal-maysir wal-kuba waqala kullu muskirin haram in a Muslim Imam Ahmad. Allah has made haram upon you alcoholic drinks, gambling, wal-kuba huwa al-tabal, the playing of a drum. Inna Rabbi harrama alayya al-khamr wal-maysir wal-kuba wal-qinneen. Indeed, Allah has made it haram upon you, upon this Muslim ummah, the taking of intoxicants, gambling, like was using the drum, wal-qinneen, huwa al-tambur, or al-ud is the mandarin, or the lute, a form of guitar that you find in modern day times that we find. Bu'ithtu bihadmil mizmar wal-tabal. I've been sent to destroy the drum and to destroy the flute. Hadith, as authenticated by many ulama of hadith, this is the task of sending of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Sultani man'unani, two voices which are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi dunya wal akhirah, inside this world and inside the akhirah. A voice that sings and rejoices at times of merriment and goodness, and a voice that wails and doesn't accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, Ibn Hajar al-Haythami al-Makki has collected more than 40 ahadith, 40 different ahadith speaking about the blame of individuals who are involved inside music. As for people trying to say this ikhtilaf, this difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha, this is all false. Just because a few rare individuals who will make a certain statement, that doesn't go against the consensus of the majority of the fuqaha. Thousands of fuqaha have gone to the view of making something forbidden, making something haram. In the four al-madahib al-arba' that we find, the four famous ulama, famous Islamic jurists that we find, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi mentioned the rejection of his testimony, a person who's involved in music. That person's testimony is to be rejected, is not a trustworthy individual. Imam Shafi'i mentions this person is an incompetent fool, and the testimony is to be rejected of this individual. Imam Ahmad mentioned that it sprouts hypocrisy, singing sprouts hypocrisy. Likewise, this was before this, the saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who said that singing just sprouts hypocrisy inside the heart of the individual. And there's a strange story about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that we find of an individual known as Za'zan. Za'zan was a musician, a person who sang in a beautiful voice. So when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud went past and he heard him singing one day with musical instruments, he said, only this person used their voice with the Qur'an. If he only used his efforts towards the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he walked away, he asked some of the individuals, who this individual was, who is this individual? And they mentioned this is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the most profound companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he ran up to him and he felt ashamed. And he hugged him and he wept. He said that today I've given up the musical instruments and music inside my life. He said, why should I not embrace an individual who's repented back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why Za'zan became one of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Likewise, this should be the impact of ulama. That should be the impact of ulama. Ulama shouldn't sit in gatherings that people think is light entertainment, whereby people need to be entertained in doing certain things. That's not the role of ulama. The role of ulama isn't to sit there to be involved inside society, just even really happen to live in a Western world, that people need some form of relaxation. The amount of people involved in music who want to come out of music, and the amount of Muslims who want to run towards music, is quite shameful. They are fleeing away, they've lived their life, they're so engrossed inside it, it becomes their bloodstream, it becomes their life. And they said that we've been searching all of our life something to come out of this, some enlightenment. Study them, you hear them, some of them just listen to the Quran. When they heard the Quran, It makes them weep. It makes them cry. It impacts them. And said, this isn't music. This is something strange. Even scientific research has been done that we speak about relaxation and peace and contentment. Scientific research has been done that people, when the Quran is played to them, three types of category of individuals. People understand the Quran. People who just listen to the Quran, and then non-Muslims. And it shows a form of relaxation upon the body. Research to this day is still being conducted inside laboratories of the impact of the Quran upon people, how it soothes the person. And then we speak about looking for things to give us peace and contentment. أَلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. In the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find rest, find peace. There's always going to be a void, hollowness of trying to find that peace inside a song, inside certain lyrics, from one word to another word, from one song to another song, to something else. There's always going to be cavity. And we can list a whole series of individuals that just destroyed their life in the search of music, thinking it's going to be a form of success for these individuals. Imam Malik mentions, إِنَّمَا يَفْعَلُهُ إِنْدَنَا الْفُسَّاقِ. The people who do this inside, who follow music, are fusaq. Rebellious individuals. Wicked individuals. Today we call it art. We call it a skill. In the fuqaha, the fusaq, rebellious individuals. Even inside our culture that we find, today people try to justify it. But originally our grandfathers, our fathers, anybody involved in music, it was a shameful career. It was disrespect to society, disrespect to your family, to your lineage, to your honor. It was disrespect, but today it's looked at a skill, something to be proud about. How can it be something to be proud about, your daughter dancing in front of people? What's that to be proud about? We feel proud about that. We blame other entities, but we look at inside our own lands, our own people. We thrive on this, we rejoice about this. This is destruction of your own home, destruction of your own people, destruction of your own children. That you just legitimize it, you turn a blind eye to it. This is an art, this is a skill that we need inside society that we find. And even those who follow that music may be halal, compare it to what music exists today. No one listens to classical Beethoven symphony or something. Maybe a few people do. The massive people listen to filth. Listen to the lyrics, lewdness, promiscuity, sexual misconduct, wickedness, evil, vile words. That's what people listen to. The whole concept of rap music, East Coast to West Coast that we find, and then drill music from 2010 onwards in Chicago spill over to this country. That's what most of the youth are listening to. The Commission of this country in 2018 said the high rise in knife crime goes back to drill music, because it breeds and it preaches that it's glorious to take someone's life. A 17-year-old boy sentenced to life imprisonment who used to sing to drill music, who recorded drill music, when he's brought in front of the judge, and a group of these individuals, a gang that took another individual's life, they're trying to say it had nothing to do with the lyrics that we sang. The judge slammed them and said that your words was only a matter of time that you would enact your words inside society. And that's exactly what you've done. You sang about taking someone's life. You talked about shanking someone. You talked about shooting someone. You talked about taking a person's life. You've done that today, and today you face a life sentence in prison. 17 years old. Life imprisonment. Life is taken away from you. We don't see the repercussions. We don't seem to understand. We're so shallow individuals. We think there's no relationship between what we're fed on a daily basis, what we hear, how we conduct it, how we influence certain things, how it leads to an evil ending. And that's why Islam comes to upheaval, to take out these things before it comes to what this society is running around, to try to clear up the mess that they're living in at the moment. Ibn al-Jawzi, inside his works, Talbis, Iblis, Deception, Devil, he mentions that music or singing is a temptation for the soul. Whereas we find that fornication is the biggest pleasure of the body. And as you mentioned many times, this leads towards haram. And that's what we mentioned many times. A Muslim society around us. That Muslims more and more involved inside certain things that leads people towards haram, to the carrying out of haram. Person should be worried about that. That my actions, my practice has led someone else to be involved inside something haram, or to live a life of haram. It's enough for me to carry my own sin, my own sins in my life. But for me to become a pathway, a gateway to other people, to be involved inside haram, to live a life of haram, and everything that they do, a share of that blame falls upon the individual, person should be worried about that.
And likewise, you find if it's a trivial matter, we have other bigger things to worry about in the world. As some people, they claim that what is the importance of music, whether it's halal or haram. And just to conclude, the relevance or the impact of music upon our society, that we find the decline of a nation and the prevalence of lewd art and music inside society is what destroys a society, is what their own research has shown. Lenin, he mentioned one quick way to destroy a society is through its music. You want to destroy people and enter into people's minds and heart via the use of music. Lines of poetry. Allama Iqbal, he wrote famous lines of poetry speaking about the blame of music, etc. He mentioned that when, let me tell you about the fate of nations. It begins with swords and spears. And the end are musical instruments in the hands of these individuals when they decline. You may find it as an exaggeration. Read history. Al-Andalus. What was the end of Andalus? The end of the empire in Hind, in India. The end of the Ottoman Empire. Read history. When they're being overtaken by the Crusaders and other individuals, they're busy discussing which female dancer is the best dancer. It's historically documented. It's not exaggeration. The emperors are busy discussing who dances the best, who plays the best music. You can visit Topkapi Museum inside Istanbul at the moment, and you can see the remnants of left behind of what the great Ottoman Empire was. What it was, the destruction, that's all that we're worried about. We're just worried about entertainment. Sunnatullah al-ard, Allah destroys people time and time again to awaken them. That when that's all that your life becomes, entertainment. Spain is not too far away. Look at to such a degree. In Qurtuba, you find Masjid Qurtuba, you find at the moment, it's haram to pray inside there. A masjid, you can see it's clearly a masjid. The security don't allow Muslims to pray inside there. Even if you try to go and offer two rak'ah of prayer, they'll throw you out, they'll ban you, they'll banish you, they'll stop you. They'll forcibly stop you. This was such a great empire. What led it to collapse is the use of musical instruments amongst its reasons and the spreading of music inside society that we find. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And that's what we become. We don't remember the past. We don't see the glory of Islam. We don't see that. We don't read about it. We don't aspire for it. We don't think about it. We think everything is just trivial inside our life. Everything. Let someone else speak about it. Let someone else deal with the problem. Let someone else come and rectify the state of our affairs. We need to rectify our own affairs. We need to remind ourselves to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single sin that we do has an impact upon ourselves, upon myself, upon yourself, upon society, upon this Muslim ummah. That's how we should feel. That everything is a ripple effect, is going to affect everybody around us. So that what we see, the suffering around us in the world, amongst us Muslims, is by our own hands, our own disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we become people who love the Quran, recite the Quran, peace in the Quran, learning the Quran, memorizing the Quran, encouraging the Quran, institutes of Quran, telling people to follow the Quran, live a life of the Quran, that becomes a life of success for us.